I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will drain it. Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And we have huge baby news, huge baby news, huge, the hugest baby news in a long time. Nick Cannon has a new baby, which we knew. Nick Cannon has a lot of kids, but we knew this baby was coming.
He has new twins.
He has new twins, and the twins have names, and those names... I don't know how to introduce these names without just saying the names are Zion Cannon and Zillion Air Cannon.
It's Zillion Air. Like
Zillion Air Cannon. Zillion Air.
And we thought Cannon. Powerful Queen was good. Little did we know what we had up his sleeve. I would say, like, I'm going to be bummed when Nick Cannon stops having babies, but I feel like that might just not happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean,
he's on a roll, is what I'm saying. And he's got names up the wazoo. He's got so many names up his sleeve.
What we have here is that either he or Abby De La Rosa misspelled zillionth, because that's what we're heading towards.
What do you mean?
The zillionth heir.
What do
the
you
zillionth,
mean?
The zillionth heir.
Oh, you're saying heir, like H-E-I-R.
That's how it's spelled.
Oh, it's not A-I-R. So it's not zillion A-I-R-E, like zillionaire.
Lindsay, it's zillionaire. It's zillionaire.
So in a way, it's like kind of a double entendre. Entendre. I know how to pronounce it. I just did it differently to be fun.
In a way, it's a double entendre.
Get it?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All I know is I can't wait for Rian Johnson's Knives Out 15 about this family, because they're all going to be fighting for Nick's riches. There are too many kids here. We've seen how this goes. This never goes well in fiction.
To be fair, he's pretty rich. So, like, there's money to go around, you know?
So at was least... Christopher Plummer.
You know, I don't fear death. But, oh, God, I'd like to fix some of this before I go. Close the book with a flourish. I guess we'll see.
And there are now, and there was that other woman whose name I forgot, who was like the dancer on the one show.
Yeah.
Who was like, I'm pregnant too, and we haven't heard word one from her since that announcement. So
word
she was
one.
Either lying, she was either lying, or was just told to hush up before the baby is born and has a name.
He has names ready. He doesn't need to, she doesn't need to hush. He's got names.
There's going to be a huge, I'm telling you, this is going to make a really good movie at some point. Or a really good Behind the Music episode, if that exists in whatever year this happens.
Point.
Oh, the other woman's name is Alyssa Scott.
How could you not just think what Mariah is thinking about all this? How could you not just think about Mariah and think about, like, Mariah hearing about these, like, half-siblings to her kids and being like, oh, God, you know, like, Easter's getting crazy. Because she's festive, you know, so she's obviously going to, you know, invite all of them.
Now, would you like to keep all of your children within the same women? Because there are a lot of men.
Within the same women?
No, no, because
the way you word things is hilarious. First he was a oops baby. Now, now we're gonna keep our children within the same women.
Well, Mariah's gotten her body back together. I wouldn't think that she'd want to have more children with you, or even with any. You know what I mean? She's
what you doing later? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Just saying. I'm like making mobile diva babies.
I've got the menopause. Oh. Yeah, I've got the menopause, so.
Okay, you are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's start with some comments as usual.
I'm just calling to confirm what Lindsay said about the Siegel and Zegler sisters. You are correct. There is a subsect we'll call them Tiger Week teens, that all roads lead back to the Zieglers. If you ever like, damn, who is this person? They have a very specific look on Instagram. So that was a very apt observation, Lindsay. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
They're just like breakout stars in a very interesting way where you have like the older one coming from a popular reality franchise, but then spinning that off into like professional dance career and pop music and now acting kind of. And then you have the younger one, also a dancer, but then who has her claws in like the Gen Z world because TikTok. She is a Gen Z, you know, like TikTok and all that. So like between the two of them, they really span like the quote unquote young people, right?
Mm-hmm. It's weird to call them low-key considering, you know, how big their social followings are and how famous they are, but like compared to their friends, they seem more under the radar than everyone else, which is interesting, which is like why it makes sense that they would be the ones who are friends with everyone. They're a little more low-key somehow, maybe just like interpersonally.
Are they low-key? I guess they're low-key in a way where they themselves are not influencers or kind of all over the place with Spawn. Right, because like
it's like their work is places, but not necessarily stories about them as like people, as civilians.
And yet, every single new person like goes is like, oh, she's friends with the Zieglers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it because that we're just not places where they are? That might be it.
Maybe.
Too.
You know? Maybe, but we are on Just Jared
and Just Jared Jr.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby, I was really excited to hear you guys talk about Five Sauce on the most recent episode. I'm sorry if you hear my cat meowing. And I thought I would share a fun story about them involving Rita. So a couple years ago, their guitarist, Michael, got injured at one of their concerts because he walked off the stage while they were playing and fell into the crowd. And he revealed in an interview later that the reason he walked off the stage was because he saw Rita in the crowd and got distracted by how hot she was and didn't realize he was at the edge of the stage. Rita's iconic. I guess this is another tie between her and the Australia Who canon. All right. Bye. Crunch, crunch.
All roads also lead back to Rita Ora. And all stages lead out to Rita Ora, apparently. If you keep walking, you'll fall into her gorgeous arms.
God, what Robert Frost didn't know, that like whenever the road got divided in the wood, one side led to the Zieglers sisters and the other side led to Rita Ora. That's like what the poem was actually about.
Oh, I was wondering I've been wondering what it's about since middle school.
As for which road was less traveled, we're not going to get into it, okay? That's a question that we can't answer.
Comment also.
No, yeah. Comment
time
at all.
Time will tell.
The video, and I do remember this because I think, like, people fall on memes. Like, people falling videos always, like, find their way to, like, my computer or my phone. So, like, even though I may not be a huge Five
Wait,
Seconds
what?
Of Summer fan.
People, I've, like, people falling videos find their way to your computer?
You know, like, every, like, those videos always go viral in some way. It doesn't matter who is falling off a stage
like
or off of something.
Like when Jason Derulo fell down the stairs of the Met.
At the Met Gala,
which didn't happen, but yeah.
My favorite video of, what's his name? Kelsey Grammer falling off the stage whenever he's doing some like odd, like performance on stage. And he goes, oh dear Lord.
Trip through It's a Small World pretending I was a UN interpreter.
Oh my God, remember when Gemma Collins was presenting, some award and she fell through like a hole in the stage?
Yes. Yes.
That was brutal.
Falling memes are great.
Hey, Who Weekly. I was listening to you guys talk about Anthony Ramos and Jasmine Seafish Jones, and I had like a question / theory for you. I feel like maybe like their publicist teams were like telling them to like cool it on being like a couple on Instagram because he's like, you know, new and very hunky for this new movie coming out, and she's the star of like a brand new TV show coming out. And I feel like there's that like old Hollywood thing of like, let people think you're like young and hot and like attainable and single, and like don't let them know that like you like quote unquote settle down. So that was my first theory, but I also didn't know whether that's like too much of like an old school Hollywood playbook, because now with like Instagram and like social, like that's like a little bit less believable. And so I was just like curious your thoughts and like on if that's still like a thing that happens in Hollywood and with the whole PR machine. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
I think that stuff still happens in Hollywood in some places, but I don't think it's happening here because Anthony did post a photo, you know, with his fiance on the red carpet on the day that this movie came out. So, like, he's not really trying to hide it.
And they did go to each other's premieres because she's in a show called Blind Spotting on, which is funny because it's David Diggs is in it too, on Showtime or Stars.
The Ham Fam. They call themselves the Ham Fam?
Is that Ham a thing? For Ham or whatever. That isn't that like the thing? I don't know. I'm not gonna. Yeah. We're not gonna. But
we're not gonna go there.
I don't think they're hiding. I was unsure if they were still together, but it was very, very, very confirmed by like the press they did for their respective shows. I think, I mean, his is a little bit bigger. It's a big movie premiere. Hers is like a TV show, so it's a little bit less whatever. But the fact that they had them at the same time is nice. I get having a fake breakup to keep the heartthrobby, but almost don't you think that a couple that's like a power couple and like are both likable is more powerful than more desirable than the bachelor guy? Because like when it's a power couple, there's like it adds to the story a little bit more, and it also gives them more like it makes them sweeter almost. Like you you take away kind of the threat of like it kind of dulls them in a way that's like America's Sweetheart-y way, you know? So I just wonder. I wonder what's more valuable.
He's settling down. He's hot and he's a sweetie who like loves his woman. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just wonder what's more at this point, you know, it's like, oh, we want to keep Henry Cavill a single hunk or whatever, versus if he dated Kaley Cuoco, which he tried or whatever, if they had stayed together, that actually I feel like would have been good for both of them. You know, I mean, I think she's better off with her husband and I'm sure she's much happier than if she was with Henry Cavill. But
I mean,
you know what I mean?
Look how good it was for him to like build a computer. You know, if it was that humanizing to make him build a computer,
That's true.
A steady partner is going to do wonders for his career.
He's such a robot that one moment of anything human like humanized him to the nth degree, you know?
Even if he was doing a robot thing, which is building a computer.
Even if he did the robot, like the dance, the robot, people would be like, oh, that's so cute. He's so
real. I know
real.
Someone like him.
That's so relatable.
But I wonder if this reminds me of, I understand what the caller is saying, and I know that definitely happened. I know it definitely happened in Sex and the City whenever Samantha told Smith not to say anything about her and pretend to be single because it made him hotter to the young fans on TRL. But I think that that's happening less and less these days. And I don't know how to explain that, but my the first thing I'm thinking of is just like, we have so much more access to these people. Like, it's harder to hide stuff these days. Like, it's too much work to hide stuff because everyone's out there. So it's sort of like, well, then how do we capitalize on what we have? Like, let's just make this work.
Right. Look how many photos we got of Angelina Jolie leaving the supposed apartment of Johnny Lee Miller.
Johnny Lee Miller.
Got another one, by the way. And we got pictures of Bennifer smooching at Nobu. So it's like, you're right. It's hard. It's easier said than done. And the idea of having a fake couple is so much more, or hiding a couple's being together is so much more, I feel like, inconceivable now than it was back then when that was like more of a thing, when it was like an old Hollywood thing.
Whenever you, when you knew the outlets, the like handful of like magazines and whatever who were going to be writing about you, and you knew how to like
control their narratives. Right. Just like say, you don't do that anymore. This. Yeah. There's less of a, there's less of a control element. You know, there's just more places for your shit, for shit to go. And there's more camera phones, honestly.
Right. Smith Jared was only talking to Lala Anthony on TRL. He wasn't going on Instagram. He wasn't going on TikTok. Smith and he wasn't being covered by, you know, Just Jared Jr.
Absolute hunk.
The absolute hunk.
Oh, Smith is always in that rag.
Yeah. But this time, he's gay.
Oh. Boys, night out. Smith Jared cozies up to Broadway dancer Marcus Adant, an unidentified older gay gentleman.
Okay, one more comment and then we can move on. Actually, a lot of comments. Lindsay, I'm not sure which one you're going to play, but there are so many.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. I was just calling, and you might get a few calls about this from your gardening population of listeners, but I went and looked at Catherine Zeta-Jones' video of her gigantic and gorgeous courgette, and those are... Yeah, for sure, like, those can be organic. Those zucchinis are massive. But those are the zucchinis that, like, you don't want to eat.
Zucchinis can grow, like, insanely big, even, like, organically, even with nothing added. You truly, like, as soon as they're big enough, you have to pick them pretty much immediately.
They just get kind of, like, big and starchy and flavorless, and sometimes they can even end up kind of, like, bitter. And I mean, if you think about the way that you would cut up a zucchini to cook, you cut it into slices, maybe cut it into like half moons. You know, if the zucchini is that big, think about cutting that up to eat. You'd end up with so much of the like kind of starchy middle part, and it's really not very good.
Zucchini is the easiest thing to grow. I have grown massive zucchinis just because I couldn't see them. They were under too many leaves, and they just keep going. They'll just become gigantic. I don't have like skills. They just do that.
So, Lindsay, don't worry if you can't grow anything that big, because there's a reason that they're grown to the size that they are when you find them in the store. It's because the skin is edible and there's no seeds on the inside. So you can just slice them and, you know, cook as is instead of spending an hour de-seeding with them. Okay. There's your garden. I can't garden, so I don't know why I'm pretending I can. Crunch, crunch, bye.
It's easy to grow extremely large courgettes in your garden. The problem is when they get extremely large, they're nasty. They taste bad. They're a terrible texture.
Yeah, so that flex, not actually wasn't a flex at all. It wasn't a flex at all.
New. But it got us, you know? We were fooled by the flex. But it also sort of suggests that, like, she hadn't eaten them yet, you know?
It also, we were fooled by her saying extra large, extremely large.
Stupendous. But yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah, good luck spiralizing those babies. First of all, you'd be knee deep in zooks, but they taste like shit.
Yes, they would taste really bad. And I was looking up more like gardening websites, and it's like, yeah, they're gross. And also, from the moment they're ripe to the time they're doubled in size, it could be as little as 24 hours that have passed. Like, they start growing really, really quickly once they're ripe. I think one of the callers said that too, but it's like, you want to pick them when they're like 6 inches long and then like call it a day.
All right, good to know. I feel like I learn things all the time from the wildest sources. Mm-hmm. Did I think
say?
I was going to learn like how big a zucchini should be from Catherine Zeta-Jones's faux pas? No, I didn't.
No, I never know what I'm going to learn from this show, and I always learn something somehow that sticks with me. I was visiting my friend in Portland a few years ago, and she was talking about how like everyone grows zucchini, and she was like, talking about how easy it is to grow, but she's like, I was like, oh, that's cool. You grow zucchini. And she was like, everyone grows zucchini. That's a thing you do here. Everyone grows zucchini. You have too much of it instantly. You start giving it away. And then everyone's like, I don't know what to do with all the zucchini. There's a period of time where you eat only zucchini bread. It's just insane.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I'm trying to grow stuff too. So like seeing those huge zucchinis like inspired me, you know, even if they taste like garbage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Have you made that delicious tuna yet? The tuna with all the parsley?
Oh, no, I haven't made it yet. The Green Goddess tuna. You gotta do it. I'm excited. The Green Goddess tuna. You know I have a lot of herbs. You know I have parsley to spare.
You know I have a lot of herbs. If I know one thing about Lindsay, it's she's got a lot of herbs.
While I was gone, everything went crazy. It's crazy out there. It's a jungle out there.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, thanks to you. And thanks to Dan, who took care of my garden as well while I was gone.
Okay. I'm just saying. I watered them. Not only did I water them, I made content and I sent you a video of me watering them. Okay?
Every time Bobby steps in my house when I'm not there, he makes a TikTok out of it. It's true. Is that a lie?
It's not a lie. Okay, let's move on to questions.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I was wondering if you could tell me who Rose Matafeo is. She is like the star and writer on this new HBO Max show, Starstruck. And it feels very much like a Lena Dunham, Michaela Cole, like young 20-something comedy writer getting like her own show and getting kind of this like prestige thing. But because she's from New Zealand, I don't know what any of that, like what first caught the interest, like what got her the show. So yeah, Rose Matafeo, who is she? Mean Grease.
Did someone say HBO Max? This is not an ad.
We have an HBO Max problem on the page.
We really do. We really do. So Rose Matafeo is the star of the show Starstruck that's being promoted all over HBO Max. And it's like, watch the show. It's an HBO Max original. And I was like, fine, I'll watch the show. You're telling me to watch it, HBO Max. You rarely miss. And guess what? It was another hit. It's great. I'm not done yet. I'm halfway through. It's so short, though. I'm mad. I don't know if we want to get into it, but like, I don't like that they're all just there. Like, I wish it had been weekly. You know, but whatever.
Well, that's how I feel about every freaking show on television now. I don't want to binge anymore. I'm over binging. Binging is over. The culture is over binging. Seriously.
Binging is over.
We've moved on. It's too much. We need to be doled it out gently. We need portion size. We need.
Could I have watched more of Starstruck when I started? Yes. Did I want to? No. I stopped myself.
I watched an episode last night and it rolled into the second episode and I was watching it too, but then I got distracted and then I was like, fuck, I wish I didn't even have access to this. I should be forced to wait. The first episode is so delightful. It's such a delightful setup and it is Notting Hill. I don't know. It's like, it's very much the spirit of Notting Hill. She is clearly a singular talent. She is clearly like, this is very much like you can tell her
she
vehicle,
has a voice.
You know, mm-hmm. The jokes are her jokes that you can tell like she has told in her set. Not the same jokes, but the same humor. You know, the character mm-hmm. is supposed to be. It reminds me also of Phoebe Waller-Bridgers. It reminds me of like Michaela Cole, where you see a lot of they're putting. How do you describe it? It's like the Mulaney show. They get a show that's like very much them, you know, the Mulaney
show. It's like Seinfeld. These are what comedians who get shows do. They write their humor into like a fictional character, but it's like, well, this is her.
The idea that it's not a sitcom where the character's name is the same as their, like we're past the like Ray Romano of it all. It's like a rom-com comedy, but it is about her, but it's not called like the Rose show. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, it's the next generation.
She's one of the new Kiwi besties. We love to see it. We love to see people come from New Zealand and strike it big. But she was a comedian. She did some on-air stuff for like New Zealand press. So these videos that you found that I hadn't seen last night are so funny. She's just a funny person. She's a comedian who did a lot of stuff online. She's the exact age for it.
Yeah, if you search her on YouTube, you get you get everything from weird press junkets she did as bits for New Zealand Today to sketch comedy that she did on some TV show called like Women, I forget what it was called, or to like to all of her stand up, to like her on Jimmy Kimmel.
Hello, my name is Rose. Lovely to meet you. I am from New Zealand, but I don't want to talk about it. That's actually kind of personal, so stop asking. I've come here tonight dressed as a necktie. Thank you very much. I tried to dress up for this tonight, but I don't know if I nailed it because I think unfortunately this outfit sort of teamed with the rest of my aesthetic. It makes me more look like a character in a romantic comedy who is only there to provide exposition to the plot. You know what I mean? That's the look, isn't it? It's the look. You know that like one office worker character at the very beginning of the film who would just be like, "Well, look who just walked in. It's Marcus Sampson, heir to the biggest shipping company in the Northern Hemisphere." Bachelor, he says he's waiting for the right lady to settle down with. Well, good luck to her, whoever she is. Anyway, I'm off, and I probably won't see you to the end of the film, possibly in a large group scene where I have no lines. Goodbye. Goodbye forever. Goodbye.
So many videos. It's kind of nice because when people are seeing this show, maybe it feels like it came out of nowhere, which I think a lot of streaming tends to feel like it came out of nowhere if it's not the Westworld, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you search her and you're like, oh, this girl's been like churning all along, you know?
She was on a sketch comedy show for like 3 years before even getting this. That was like 3 seasons long called Funny Girls. Like
Funny
it was a
Girls.
Sketch
okay,
comedy
sorry,
show
I
on
said
New Zealand
women.
TV.
I said women something, but I'm close. No, Funny Lindsay. Girls. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, Lindsay, they're Funny Girls.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Yesterday I was watching a YouTube video that's like, you know, a list of things or a countdown or whatever. And it had the same like lady's voice as every other list video. And I asked my friend, and she was like, oh, yeah, Miss Mojo, which is a YouTube channel that I have heard of. So I have a two-part question. Number one, if Miss Mojo is the voice of who are them? But also more importantly, is Miss Mojo's voice a human or a robot voice? Because that voice is everywhere on every single YouTube channel doing countdown shit. And, like, it can't be a real person, right? So... if you can please figure this out, I'd appreciate it. Living with a laptop and Tim Tebow lesbian, me inside, bye.
I just love Miss Mojo. I love Miss Mojo.
Didn't we
so
do this with Mr. Mojo? Or didn't we do this with, didn't we do this already?
I don't think we've ever talked about Miss Mojo.
I think we have.
Miss Mojo.
We have.
Just like listen to this voice. This voice, and it's not just one voice though, caller. It's a lot of voices, but they all do sound the same. Here's one.
Welcome to Ms. Mojo. And today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 cruel summer moments. Welcome to Ms. Mojo. And today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 Lucifer running gags.
Welcome to Ms. Mojo. And today we're counting down our picks for the top 20 funniest ways TV shows hid pregnancies.
The House of Mouse is certainly well-versed in the art of damage control. Welcome to Ms. Mojo, and today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 Disney Channel controversies and scandals.
You've heard this voice, right?
No,
this voice
is everywhere. I know, but I'm like, is Ms. Mojo the ancestor to like the TikTok robot voice, you know? You know, and now there's a new TikTok robot voice that's supposed to sound more casual, but just sounds worse.
Wait, there's a new one? Yeah. No, there's a new TikTok voice?
Yeah, yeah, there is a new voice.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
Want to know how hot summer is in Phoenix, Arizona?
No, I haven't done that yet. But Ms. Mojo is a Canadian company, which I didn't know until I was looking all of this up. It's a Canadian company that
why
is just
is
like
it
spun off.
Why is it like Ms. Pac-Man? I really don't understand. Why is it Mojo? Why is it anything? Why does this exist?
The answers I have to those questions are I don't know. Ms. Mojo was founded for women and fan culture, which is just like, oh, things that are feminine, but it's like, oh, I guess that's a little annoying, but okay, sure. But there are just so many of them. They make lists about everything, and all of them have a voice like that, but there are different people who provide those voices. They are just told to speak in the same like cadence and delivery, which is very like YouTube delivery.
If you go to the Watch Mojo Wikipedia, the history of it starts, according to the company's biography, the 10-year overnight success, an entrepreneurship's manifesto, how Watch Mojo built the most successful media brand. Watch Mojo's vision is, quote, to inform and entertain, with a mission to provide a video on every topic. Every topic?
According to the company's mythologizing, Here are the facts of their history.
Right, literally.
Ridiculous. I'm sure they make so much money.
They really churn out the vids.
Listen to some of the things that are currently on Ms. Mojo. Just listen to how many things they have. They have 4 million subscribers. Recent Ms. Mojo videos. Top 10 Jujubee moments on RuPaul's Drag Race. Top 20 songs written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Top 10 Raya and the Last Dragon moments. Top 10 movie musical adaptations of all time. Top 20 creepiest catfish episodes ever. Top 10 epic ballet scenes in movies. How could there be more than 10 epic ballet scenes in movies? Top 20 Jenna Johnson performances on Dancing with the Stars, okay? Top 10 hilarious Modern Family running gags. The top 10 sexiest female movie characters of the 90s. The top 10 things to remember before watching Loki. The top 10 funniest fails. You know, like, she's giving us everything.
She literally is giving us everything. And by she, I mean a room full of 25 editors.
Oh, you think there's just 25 in that room?
Patrick J. Adams delivered his new baby with Rice Troyan Belisario in the hospital parking lot. Crunch, crunch.
People's headline. Troyan Belisario and husband Patrick J. Adams detailed the crazy car birth of their second child. Subhead, quote, "There was no room for panic," said Patrick J. Adams. I'm like, sounds like there was. I mean, if that were me, there's plenty of room for panic. There's always room for panic.
Also, it's such a waste because she told the story on her pal Katie Lowe's podcast.
Do not, Lindsay. I'm going to reach through. I'm going to reach Katie's through crib. And poke you on.
It's Katie's the head. Crib.
Just poke, poke, poke for speaking like a tabloid reporter. I mean, she spoke to her pal Katie Lowe's. It's like you sounded like an Us Weekly writer.
I was reading it from E! News. She told the story on Katie's Crib podcast. She gave the exclusive to this podcast, Katie's Crib. I'd love the exclusive. I don't know why we didn't get it. We never get any exclusives like
this. I think
this
that's nice, though.
From Troyan Belisario.
That's a really generous move from a famous person to your non-famous podcast host friend. And just be like, I'll drop the news that my Suits star husband gave, like, helped
well,
me deliver my
forget,
baby in the car.
He's not only
to
just
you.
Suits star husband, he's Meghan Markle love interest suit mm-hmm. suit star husband.
They went to the
husband.
Wedding. Both right. of them went to the
they
wedding.
They went to the wedding. And Troyan is Pretty Little Liars, most famous for Pretty Little Liars, right? How are all the Pretty Little Liars doing? I feel like we have, like, Ashley Benson.
Ashley Benson's dating Ammerman.
Mm-hmm. What's-her-face had a baby. What's-her-face? Come on.
You doing okay there?
Yeah, what's-her-face? She had a baby, too. We saw her Architectural Digest house with her, like, gay best friend, designer. What's her name?
Holly Marie Combs?
No.
Bianca Lawson?
No, she was... No.
Laura Layton?
No.
Shay Mitchell?
Yes.
Hi, AD. I'm Shay Mitchell, and welcome to my home. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. Lucy Hale has a lot of kids, a.k.a. a lot of pilots under her belt. When she says, I gave birth, she means she filmed another pilot.
It is a lot of work.
But Troyan is the one we're talking about now. She gave birth in the car. Are you going to play? You're probably going to play the clip.
I remember, like, pressing my head into the headrest and just trying to make my head go through the headrest. Something was going on in my body where, you know, I remember with the contractions, which are painful, like, fluid would come out. I turned to Patrick, like, heaving, and I was like, don't laugh, I shit my pants.
So we get to the valet area in Cedar Sinai. I jump out, and because she's gone to the bathroom now, I'm like, well, we need a wheelchair. I get up to the guy and I say, hey man, this is happening. It's all happening in the car.
And Meghan has no idea this happened.
And she never will.
Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra-absorbent. It's lightweight. It's low-dust. And 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm going to have people over, and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but it doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have, like, weird medical issues. the litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You know, I've tried lots of things to get me to go to sleep in the past, you know, few years. Just a little bit of a push. Got your melatonin, you got your various things. But I've found that of all the things, a little bit of CBD, a little bit of CB distillery, that's getting me getting me conked right out and sleeping through the night.
It really is. I love CB distillery. They have not all their products are for sleep. Some are for relaxation, but like, I love the sleep ones. They say, shh.
Those gummies they sent us, I was in a chill vibe all day when I took two of those.
They're good ass gummies. They're good ass gummies. No, you were. You were like, I took CBD earlier today and I feel chill.
I'm like not operating heavy machinery on those things. You know what I mean? I'm in a good place.
Heavy machinery?
What did I say?
You said heavy machinery, which is good. I like that. I know what you meant. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. They all caps the clean, which means you know it's clean. No fluff, no fillers, just effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD, and I'm among those 90%. So if you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like we did to CB Distillery, and with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. Hooligans have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code WHO, WHO, for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code WHO, cbdistillery.com.
Hey, Weekly. I went to the Medieval Times this weekend for the first time in a long, long time. And after the show, was checking out their Instagram and discovered that they only follow, the official Medieval Times Insta only follows 41 people, and only a couple of them are verified, and mostly businesses like Taco Bell. But the one celebrity that I could tell they followed was Jenny McCarthy, and I just wondered if you had any insight into why that might be the case. Thanks. Bye.
That's funny. It's true. It is very funny. And we have an insight. We don't have certainty, but we have an insight.
I really tried to search. I searched a lot of different things with Jenny McCarthy, Mark Wahlberg, Medieval Times. Maybe I'm missing something here. I did go to the Instagram.
Donnie Wahlberg.
I did confirm that she's the only celebrity they're following. My one thing is that she has this serious show where she just talks nonstop like us every mm-hmm. single day. And I have mm-hmm. a feeling, you know, because you just talk so much, she must have talked about going to the Medieval Times, or she must have talked about... It must have come up, right? Because you have one, she posted, or whoever does promo for her posted an image macro about what she was talking about that day. And it didn't say Medieval Times, but someone responded and said, we need a field trip to Medieval Times, implying that she had talked about it on the show.
Talked about it positively, as though she was a fan or wanted to go.
Right. So in my mind, Medieval Times, the Instagram, saw these mentions or something and followed her, or heard the segment and followed her. And that's literally as simple as it is.
Maybe we can get a follow. Maybe we can get a mention. Maybe we can get a repost or something. But it doesn't look like that happened anywhere. I've never been to a Medieval Times. Have you?
Oh, yeah. I have.
Are they fun? They seem fun.
It's really fun. It is a relic of entertainment and dinner theater that I feel like we don't have a lot of anymore. Dinner theater is really like not as much of a modern thing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And it's really cool that we have this.
It's like relegated to Medieval Times and Pigeon Forge, you know?
Right. And I also love and support any performers that work as like knights. I feel like that's a very specific skill. You know, like the Blue mm-hmm. Man. Like if you train to learn how to be like a fighter in a medieval time show, that's like a very specific skill that's not very transferable. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. Much like, again, mm-hmm. Blue Man mm-hmm. or stomp performer. Well, I guess stomp performer is a little bit more transferable because you're just kind of dancing and stomping. But you get what I'm saying.
Just like, yeah, there's something like very noble about that sort of like thankless acting. Like you are a performer and you like study to be a performer. And what you perform as is like a completely masked character that no one's paying attention to. Like, oh, I loved Lindsay Weber as like the knight in this medieval times performance. Like no one's really doing that. But right. you do it anyway because acting is your passion. I went to Ren Faire in Inwood Park once. That was fun. I drank meat. It was nasty.
I've been once. It's fun. Again, it's like fun until it isn't. You're like, I'm eating the turkey leg. I went with friends once and we met this guy who we thought was like a character guy. And he was like, I'm the barrel maker. And we were like, okay. But then we were like, what do you really do? And he was like, no, I really make barrels in Williamsburg. And I was like, what? I was like, wait, so like, are you?
I am ye barrel maker. And you were like, oh, good one. You're so good at this.
I swear to God, Julianne was there too. And we were just like, wait, so you're a barrel maker in real life too? And he was like, yeah. And then I was like, well, I guess like you actually could make barrels. Like that is a thing. And then I got really confused.
One day, God. And then cut to 3 years later, you're watching a Architectural Digest video and Gwyneth Paltrow is like, and then I have these beautiful barrels in my backyard. I get them from a barrel maker I love in Williamsburg. He makes the best barrels.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Bought a lot of barrels before, but like none of the barrels are as well made as these Williamsburg barrels from Yule, the barrel maker.
Like when he said, I'm also a real barrel maker, that flew through my mind. And I was like, well, who am I to say there's no such thing as a barrel maker? Like I would buy
people
a barrel.
People need barrels.
You know,
people,
like.
I've watched video of people making barrels. Like bending wood is an interesting practice. Why did I watch a video of barrel makers?
Bending
I don't know.
Wood is an interesting practice.
No, I'm serious.
No, I know.
I'm serious. Look up how barrels are made. They are so precise. It is really interesting. And I don't know why I've watched barrels being made, but I have. And you should watch it. Because you know they have to be perfect because it's bent wood and they have to be sealed. Because you put stuff in them and stuff can't fall out of them. You can't have cracks in that stuff.
So you have to bend the wood and then stick the wood all together.
Well, then you have to get the metal and wrap it around the wood. Yeah. It has to be perfect. It's so precise.
No, that's, I mean, I'm.
Then here we are. Another call.
Colton Underwood shares the Amazon finds that help him show off his pride.
It's true. So yet another nail in the coffin of pride, or just proof that like pride is extremely corporate. Now we have this E headline, Colton Underwood shares the Amazon finds that help him show off his pride. The Bachelor alum revealed his favorite gadgets, grooming products, home decor items, and more.
I'm sorry. Please read me the pride items you can buy on Amazon.com, according to Colton Underwood.
That Colton likes and that he says show off his pride. One of them is the Reebok Club C85 Pride shoes, which are white Reebok shoes that have like a sliver of pride flag. Looks more like a trolley gummy worm that goes along the top part of the shoe. That's what it looks like. There's nothing better than a fresh pair of white sneakers, and these are the Reebok Pride shoes. God. I like them not only because they're white, but because they've got a little pop, a little flair.
I gotta say, like, I don't need Colton Underwood wearing like a jock strap, but I do love, but I am a little bit like, representation matters, you know? Like, this dude is out here being like, I love my white sneakers, right? I like to be clean, but I also have a little flair and a little dazzle.
Like, I don't think that that's Colton Underwood. And then we have an Adidas fanny pack.
Okay.
I have this fanny pack because fanny packs are coming back in style and everyone needs a good one for the summer. For me, I know my pockets get full and I feel like the shorts get shorter and shorter and the pockets get more shallow. So you don't have a lot of room to
pause,
put in your wallet, cell phone,
pause,
and keys.
Huh? Short, what, huh? Short shorts. Short inseam. That is gay, canonically.
That's true. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, show me a photo. Show me the receipts, Colton. I don't see him wearing those shoes or this fanny pack on his Instagram. Then the next thing he has are black Bose wireless Bluetooth headphones. Mm. There's nothing queer about that. Mm. There's nothing queer about
that. That's true. That is
why does
queer.
That make you pride? Okay? Then
the
it's
Bose
Fitbit,
Quiet
not
Comfort
queer.
35-2 wireless Bluetooth headphones are not queer.
Also not queer, the Fitbit Charge 4 fitness and activity tracker with built-in GPS, heart rate, sleep, and swim tracking.
It's not.
No. And then he just like throws in these red wine glasses.
Wait, hold
and
on.
He
goes, these... Right now, going for a walk, working out, and just breaking a sweat is something for me that's very important to my health and also my pride.
Words stopped mattering a long time ago. Like, the moment Twitter was invented, words started losing all meaning. Okay?
Wait, these glasses are actually kind of gay.
Why are they gay?
Because there's something about drinking wine out of a glass that has a little bit more of an edge to it that isn't your typical clear crystal glass. They're great. I didn't say that. He said that.
They're a little iridescent, so they kind of show like many colors and the like. But I'm not sure that I'd call them gay. I'm not sure that I'd call them. This white noise machine. Okay, I will give the white noise machine. That's queer. Okay, white noise machine is gay culture,
no,
and I
not.
Can't explain it, but it is. Yes, it is.
It's not. Is
so,
it?
At these Epsom salts, the eucalyptus and lavender Epsom salts, I almost want to say they're gay. He says, a way I've sort of taught myself to give myself some self-love is to give myself some spa nights and take care of my body.
He said myself how many times? A way I've taught myself to give myself some self-love is to give myself spa nights. Okay, that's...
Babbling, that's queer.
Self-care,
okay?
Self-care is queer.
Not knowing when to shut up, that's queer. Okay, self-care is queer.
Honestly, 6 pounds of salt is queer. No, it's not. Unless if you use it to clean your driveway, though, it's not queer.
It's not queer. Okay. It's not queer. Okay. Homesick. The idea of being homesick is queer. I will say that's queer culture.
Wait, it
being
is?
Homesick. Okay.
It is?
Yeah, for you sure. Yeah. Again, I can't explain why, but it's queer. Okay. Homesick candles, however, I don't know that that's queer, but maybe.
But scents of spruce, needle, cinnamon is not queer.
That's not queer. Okay. That scent is not queer. I'm sorry. Okay. An essential oil aroma diffuser, queer. That counts. Okay,
okay, but Don Francisco's vanilla nut flavored whole bean coffee is queer.
Not queer.
No, it is.
Is it? It is?
No,
this
I don't know.
This is my go-to coffee. It's on Amazon.
You would know more than me. Is it?
Vanilla nut kind of. Don Francisco's vanilla nut. That sounds a little queer.
Saying
to me.
I'm not normally a flavored coffee kind of guy, but this is the only flavor that I drink. That's not queer.
That's not queer. No, I'm sorry. That's not queer. Check this out. Stay caffeinated. There is no wrong time to have a cup of coffee. He's like one of those signs came to life, like, and like learned English badly.
Okay, but the gayest thing he said the whole time is there's no wrong time to have a cup of coffee, as you know.
That's true. That's true. He also has this vacuum insulated tumbler where he puts his coffee and his smoothies. I will say single use plastics are queerer than this sort of like reusable cup.
I don't want to.
Single-use plastics are queer culture. I appreciate this.
Okay.
Voss water. Voss glass water. Queer.
But is he true?
I've had Voss maybe once. It's very expensive.
Okay.
My go-to water bottle is Voss. They're great for me when I'm entertaining or when I have guests over. Okay, so it's like for any time. They're great when I'm alone or when I have people over. The great thing about this water is you can drink it alone or with friends. Okay. I love this guy. Like, what a disaster he is.
The great thing about this water is you could drink it alone or with friends. Yeah, water do be like that. Promoting products you can buy on Amazon is pride. Like, that actually is, like, we all joke.
Current
like
pride.
We all joke about, like, Chase Bank Float, you know? We all joke about these things. And if anything, they're almost cliche at this point that pride is so corporate.
Yeah.
And to be fair, this is the epitome of pride. Selling me freaking Epsom salt that I buy on Amazon.com is gay now.
Being on the phone with someone from E! And saying... well, you know, I really like Don Francisco's vanilla nut flavored whole bean coffee in a 28-ounce bag. He literally says, check this out, stay caffeinated, in this description. Check this out, stay caffeinated.
Sleep is very important. With one of these, your sleep quality is going to go way up.
I'm telling you, that's queer. That's queer.
Having a sound machine, white noise is queer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time anyone uses a white noise machine, they're celebrating queer culture, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know that, but now that I do, I'm
now you know it.
Yeah.
I know. You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's play really quick Who Are Them.
Which of these is the bigger who? The fray or the script? Crunch, crunch.
The fray or the script? This is great thinking. I love this form of thinking. Who's a bigger them, the fray or the script? On the count of three, say who's a bigger them, the fray or the script. I will say both of them are probably who's. Who is a themmy or who?
Okay.
Right? One, two, three.
The fray. Duh.
The fray.
The script is like the Christian-y fray, right?
I think that sounds right. Okay. Right? Yeah, that sounds right.
The scripture, you know? I don't know if that's the true. I just am thinking. The scripture.
Over, it's just like over my head, Cable Car is, you know, one of the songs of the millennium, you know.
Is so that the script or is that the Fray? That's the Fray.
That's the Fray.
The Fray, I mean, almost every song on Grey's Anatomy can be traced back to the Fray. So for that, they are important.
The Fray is very season one, season two Grey's Anatomy, back when I watched Grey's Anatomy. You know what? Halfway through this segment, I'm going to say, I thought I knew who the script was, and I have no idea.
I don't think I've ever heard a script song.
Oh my God. Fray wins number one. Oh my God. Fray wins out.
Tankinis, who were them? Crunch, crunch.
Tankinis, who were them? One, two, three.
Who?
Them?
No.
Oh.
Who? Tankinis or whose?
Okay.
Because they're always trying to, they're always trying to make them a thing, and they're always like the trend that won't stick. Everybody wants to just go back to wear a normal bikini. Nobody really
wants
to wear a tankini.
Is just like, It's still bikini bottoms, but the top's just a tank top.
Yeah.
Right?
With like, it's like longer on top, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's kind of a forever trend, you know, but it really has overstayed its welcome, I think, the tankini.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's bikini, and then they took it away. And also, I just feel like tankini is just, even the word, it's not even a real word. It's a bastardization of bikini.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the trend where the bathing suit bottoms got higher versus the top getting lower, meaning like high-waisted bikini, that's more of a thing now. It's like raise up the bottoms instead of pull down the tops.
Is Anna Paquin a who or a them? I think she's a them, but I don't know. Live and love, beat a laptop.
I know we've done this before because when I put the call into the folder, it asked me if I wanted to make a copy because it's already had an Anna Paquin Who or Them call. And not only did I want to make a copy, when I made a copy, it says copy two, meaning there are two other calls. There are more than one call about this in here.
It's worth doing as many times as we get calls. Anna Paquin, I think, sort of ebbs and flows. It's never quite clear what Anna Paquin is.
True.
Or what
is she
she's
flacking
doing,
still?
Or what flack is.
Is she flack?
I think she's still flacking. Prime was like, we'll take flack. We'll take the flack.
They took
the flag.
They really took the flag.
You know what they took
show,
the flag from?
Remember
what it was
it,
on?
You're like, it's the flag. What? No.
Pop.
Oh, it was. So they bought flack. They said, oh, we'll Schitt's Creek this thing and get this flack from Pop.
I'm not sure that they bought flack. I think Pop left flack out on the curb, like whenever you're living in an apartment and you just want
so
someone to take
rude
it.
To flack.
And they put up a sign that said free, clean, free, no bed bugs. And Amazon took flack. I still have no idea what flack is. No, I have an idea. It's like she's a crisis PR. But
Prime
she's
really
one.
Is a streaming service that is all of the VHSs left out on the street, you know? It's like, it really is the embodiment of...
So is Netflix at this point, honestly.
No, Netflix is like not even... Those VHSs weren't even made. Like, those don't even exist. No one even would
no,
ever
Prime,
buy those.
This is what it is. Prime is the VHSs left out on the street. Netflix is the DVDs left out on the street.
Truly. No, Prime... Netflix is the DVDs left in the Blockbuster that closed. You know, like, they had to go somewhere. Prime is the VHSs that your parents put out after years of trying to get you to take them to your new apartment, even though you don't have a VHS player and you never will.
Yeah, exactly. VCR, Lindsay.
Oh,
VCR.
What'd I say?
VHS player. Okay, Anna Paquin, who were
them?
I'm
so Gen Z, I don't even know what a VHR is.
Anna Paquin, who were them? One, two, three.
Who?
Them. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Really?
I don't know. It just felt, we just like.
It felt right?
It just felt like we were heading in that direction. You took a sharp left.
She won an Oscar. That doesn't really mean anything.
When she was 14 years old.
People think she can lead a show, but that doesn't really mean anything. Look at Lucy Hale.
Another.
Maybe she's still sort of defined by her child stardom. But I think her name, I think she has, maybe she's a who with them name recognition. I think that name is still like, has weight. I think the name has weight. But I think that she is not necessarily someone who people have super strong feelings about. Like, she doesn't associate herself with, like, superstar them energy.
Yeah, I don't think that she does. I don't think
anyone's
like, I stan Anna Paquin.
Who with them name recognition, for sure. Okay, there we go. We got it. Thank you for helping me figure that out. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I like when we can work through things, okay?
Sure.
Next one.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I just finished the most recent Who's There and heard you guys mention in one of the ads, Party Down.
And it got me thinking because I love when you rank things from Who to Them, and I also really love Party Down. So I was wondering if you could rank the cast of Party Down from Whoiest to Themiest. And also, just as an aside, this is back to like a really old topic, but I am a middle school teacher. The end of the year, and everyone's like really fried. We are watching Bob Ross next week. All right. Love you guys. Crunch, crunch. Women don't belong in balloons. Porkin Thorkin.
I think this is very easy.
You think so?
No, maybe not.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Not.
I think that's why because this is interesting. It's like kind of hard.
Because I think who you have at the bottom is, what's his name? Ryan Hansen, who like I literally didn't know outside the show. Ryan Hansen, Whoiest, right? For sure.
Okay, so Ryan Hansen is the Whoiest. But I think Ryan Hansen and Martin Starr kind of are the same level.
I put Martin Starr like one notch above him.
Because
and
of
same
his,
with Ken Marino.
Because of his connection.
Because of his like Silicon Valley, other stuff, Freaks and Geeks.
But also Freaks and Geeks guys. Okay, so like you're saying Ryan Hansen at the bottom, then Martin Starr. But I would say Martin Starr and Ken Marino are the same.
About on the same level. Okay. Yeah. And then I think what you have next is like one bucket and everyone remaining is like sloshing around in the same bucket, except maybe Adam Scott and
tough. Like Lizzie Kaplan at one point, maybe like 4 years ago, would have been at the top of this list, weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
And
five
like
years
Adam
ago.
Scott,
Six,
even
seven
when this
years
show
ago.
Right after this show came out, or like, you know, a few years after, he was also like a big guy that people were talking about.
I think we can
weirdly
put Adam
Jennifer
Scott...
Coolidge and Megan Mullally are kind of at the top of this list because
mm-hmm.
they are
that's what I'm
they're
saying.
Evergreen in this weird way.
I think that Adam Scott and Lizzie Kaplan are on the exact same level above Martin Starr and Ken Marino.
Yeah.
And then I think we have
Megan Mullally and Jennifer Coolidge. Then Jane Lynch at the top.
I think Jane Lynch at the top. I think Megan Mullally, Jennifer Coolidge, same level. We have Ryan Hansen at the bottom.
Yeah.
Then we have Martin Starr and Ken Marino right above him. Then above them, we have Adam Scott and Lizzie Kaplan together. Then above them, we have Jennifer Coolidge and Megan Mullally together. And then at the top of the list alone is Jane Lynch.
Yes, I agree with that. Only I think, yes, no, I agree with that. I agree with that fully.
This is the Jane Lynch meme crossed out. I am going to crossed out, make a list that is so definitive. That's the meme we just made.
I am going to make a list that is
I am going to make a list that is so definitive.
That's a good meme.
Hi, I'm proffering a theory that the only them of oven temperatures is 350 degrees. I'm on the fence about 425. Thank you.
National Geographic presents genius, this caller.
The only them oven temperature is 350. That is correct.
Absolutely. Every other oven temp is a who.
Is a who. When I put my oven on, when I'm asked to put my oven on 375, I'm like, who? Girly, change the recipe. I'm leaving it on 350.
Or sometimes you like go up and it's like, if I'm reheating something, it's like, do I want it? Do I do 325? Do I want 375? It's like... 350 is right in the middle, baby. Yeah. It's the sweet spot. And whenever you turn on your oven, it defaults to 350. At least mine does.
Yeah.
Because I have the stupid digital oven. I don't have the...
350 is the only temperature we recognize. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't recognize anything else.
Like whenever you read a recipe that's like roast it, you're never sure if it's going to say roast at 400, 425, or 450. You know?
Yeah.
Warm it. You never... Is it going to be 275? Is it going to be 180?
But if you're baking it respectfully, it's at 350. Respectfully.
You bake it at 350, and then if it's like, oh, if you have a different kind of pan, you're going to want to alter the temperature or
no,
whatever.
I'm not.
No.
I'm absolutely not going to want
to do
doing
350.
I'm absolutely not going to want to
this caller,
do that.
You're genius. That's so true. You understand this podcast. Oh, you totally get it. You
thank
get
you.
It. Thank you, and thank you for listening. We're going to end on that. Perfect ways to end. Perfect place to end. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Keep calling in if you want to show up on a show like this. 619-WHO-THEM.
Keep calling if you want to show up on a show
comments,
like this.
And concerns. And it's still going to be Pride Month next Tuesday. So call in. I would like you to call in and tell us the things on Amazon
yeah.
or the things that you've bought recently that mean pride to you. I want to hear a list of things that mean pride to you.
That is such
it'll be
a
our
good
last Pride episode.
Idea for Pride mm-hmm. to celebrate. What in your mm-hmm. Amazon order history?
It doesn't have to be Amazon. Let's
gives
actually
you,
leave
no,
Amazon.
No, it is
it.
Amazon because that's
oh,
how
it should be Amazon.
Because that's why it's so stupid.
How corporate it is. Yeah,
what
okay.
in your Amazon? What have you bought recently from Amazon that gives you the most pride? What are you the most proud
oh, what
of?
What a good call. What a good call. Yeah. Okay, please call in and leave those messages. Thank you to Katie and Erica, who's providing our theme song for Rita on Tuesdays. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, please. We love your ratings and reviewing. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
You will dream it.
They want to know. Hey. 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 I want to be famous.
Hey guys, I feel like this should probably go to Dumois instead, but I just wanted to call you guys and let you know that I saw Maggie Gyllenhaal at Pastis and she looked amazing. That's all. Crunch, crunch.
This Entertainment Weekly headline is hot off the presses. Salma Hayek fondly recalls her pet owl vomiting a ball of rat hair on Harry Styles. Quote, the actress says the singer-songwriter was super cool about the situation. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. This message is mostly for Lindsay. Just a friendly reminder that Boss Baby 2, Family Business, comes out July 2nd. So get ready. Unclear if you will support the sequel due to the Alec Baldwin situation, but nonetheless, July 2nd, it's happening. Crunch, crunch.